Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kensco Rocks, a podcast about Kensco CMS, authored by two Kensco MVPs, Brian Soltis and Brian McKeever. Our goal of this podcast is to talk, of course, about Kensco CMS. And in case you didn't notice, we've picked a name. We're going to go with Kensco Rocks. It's, I think, not a stretch if you've ever heard of .NET Rocks or followed ASP.NET podcasts. So it made sense to us. If you have better suggestions, feel free to please keep them coming. But in today's episode, we're going to talk about what are your favorite customizations with Kensco that you've done, Brian, and I'll talk a little bit about mine. So I'm going to just start there. Go ahead, Brian. Give me your favorite customization that you've done with Kensco CMS.
Favorite one. You know, in like 4+ years, you know, I've only made one or two customizations. It's hard to
Liar.
Say.
Liar.
You know, just about every project, we do some customization in it, and you know, there's so many ways to do it. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can customize Kensco, and you can really, you know, as you know, you can shape it to do, you know, it does all these things right out of the box, but whatever it doesn't do, we can make it do it, you know, in short order generally by leveraging some API or something. Personally, I like to do a lot of customizations in the way of, I make a lot of custom modules. I've made a lot of different ones to interact. A lot of them deal with interacting with either systems or tables or just completely other applications that are outside of Kensco. And what I use the custom modules for is I basically do all my code of however it is I'm going to make it look. And I really like using the Kensco master pages. Then it has this like nice fluid look. You know, I do like the default theme and stuff. That way, you know, all the data grids and buttons, you know, they all look similar. But I take just whatever my code does, and then, you know, with like a few short lines of code, I wrap Kensco Security around it, register it, and bam, there it is in the CMS desk, completely controlled by Kensco Security, and I can still go off and do what I want to do. I mean, I'm sure you've done a lot of things like that, you know, leveraging the, basically not building the security aspect of it because Kensco's already done it, so...
Right, right. That's why I couldn't agree more. I love the fact that I don't have to reinvent the wheel with user login, reset password,
exactly.
File. Like, that is so 10 years ago. We don't have to do that in this day and age.
Right.
Kensco does a great job out of the box with that part of it.
I mean, some
give of me, oh, sorry. Give me one example specifically of those modules that you just talked about. What does your favorite module do?
All right, you know, this is in no way a shameless plug because it's free and I don't care if people go get it or not, but I wrote this one module and it's actually in the Kensco Marketplace. It's the BitWizard SQL execution module, and it's the simplest little thing, and all it is a text box, and you put in the text box and it will execute that code against the database. Now, it's a very dangerous module if it's in the wrong hands. Obviously, they can execute stuff against it, but... You know, in a lot of systems that we do, we may or may not have direct database access, but if we just throw in that one little module, we can then execute, you know, execute a query to update something. I have like a couple different settings in it. The one will execute to a data set, and then it'll kind of read through that and display it in a grid on the page.
Yep.
And you know, that's such a small little thing, but it's, you know, it's like a tool, and you know, every tool has a job, and in some ways, there's only one tool that can do that job. And that's something, I mean, you'll never use that for anything, but if you ever have a site where you can't get to the database, but you need to update some data, it's a heck of a lot easier just to go right into this module and update it.
So, yep, I will admit I have used it. I have had that problem of not having database access, and you saved me some time. So thank
nice.
You so much.
There we go. I mean, that's a simple one. Some other ones that I guess are a little bit more complex is I have a site that I've developed and I'm actually continuing to develop, and it has a lot of integration with Windows Azure and Windows Azure CDN and the storage account. And basically, I guess from 50,000 feet, it's really like a digital asset management for this company. But it's all, again, like I said, it's got Kensco Security wrapped around it. And then once they log into Kensco, then they just go into this custom module. And then they can upload these images, which behind the scenes, I'm using the Azure API to save and store these images in Windows Azure storage. And then I set their CDN path. And then when I display them inside of here, I'm using the CDN path. So it's very fast. And again, I mean, that's That's why modules are probably my favorite, because you can really do whatever it is you want to do. You just wrap the security and the functionality around it to list inside the CMS desk or in the tools menu or even in the site manager, and then you can do what I want to do. But I would probably say that Windows Azure one is probably my favorite, just because I get to work with the Windows Azure API behind the scenes, and I kind of work with blob storage and setting the CDN path and the TTL and different things like that.
Nice.
How about you, man? What is probably like your favorite customization that you've done?
Yeah, for me it's hard. It's not quite just a module or a web part. I've done quite a few of those, but really we had 3 years ago a real estate site in the local area here in West Michigan, and it was really neat because at the time most of the real estate sites here worked from an MLS data source of all of the houses for sale in the area. And there's like 25,000 house listings per day.
Oh, yeah.
And they were sort of importing spreadsheets to other little apps and then trying to connect their website to it. So we kind of came in and built a little app, if you will, not necessarily in the Windows 8 or Windows Store or Apple Store sense app, but more like old school VB app. And it used the Kentico API to talk to that server that had the listing data, download it every night, take apart all 25,000 listings, and insert them into the content tree as structured content. So we got to use a lot of the Kentico API, and that's when I really started to fall in love with the product. And then we did some really cool things on top of that. Once we had the data in a custom table and in the content tree, we could do some really neat searching and filtering. And
so you stored it in a custom table behind the scenes?
Well, to be honest, we put it half in one place, half in the other, depending on the quick view of the listing versus the full detailed view, because one row of data had over 200 attributes, and I didn't quite want to slow down the content tree that much.
Gotcha.
But a neat twist to it for me, again, using the API, was we published new listings and featured listings directly to Facebook and Twitter. And that was back before Twitter had OAuth and REST APIs, and it was like the early days. And we had to kind of figure it out, and I remember thinking that this little app can talk to the data source, talk to Kentico, talk to Facebook and Twitter, primarily only using the Kentico API and some C#. But I was proud of that solution because it really automated a few people's jobs from having to manually deal with all this data every day, and the client loved it. So it's more for me using the API, not necessarily just a module or a web part, was kind of my favorite scenario of using the system.
Gotcha. Did you use the schedule tasks or anything behind the scenes for that as well?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely utilized some schedule tasks to make sure that it ran at the right time at night, did everything nightly, and then it was smart enough to not blindly insert 25,000 doing a delete insert. It knew how to update versus add versus removed from the data source. So that was all controlled by a schedule task to custom assembly back in the five days.
Nice.
That's one thing I do love about 7.0 is the fact that I don't have to do a lot of external assemblies and worrying about linking up my DLL references in Studio when they release a hotfix.
Yeah, to register with a custom loader. Oh, yeah, that's so much easier than having to pull in a separate DLL and stuff like that. Yeah, we've done a lot with the schedule. I'd probably say that's another way we customize a good bit of it is through both the schedule task and the integration bus. And really, the customization comes into, you know, injecting content into the site from another system on a scheduled basis. Because we have a lot of clients that they kind of will fall into one of two, you know, these if they have this other system, either they want to run everything inside of Kentico, and so they'll put all their content into Kentico, and we'll use the integration bus to then push this information out to another system.
Yep.
Or they'll want to do everything inside of their other system and then just have that flow into Kentico. So we'll either use the integration bus or schedule tasks to then automate the creation of content in the content tree, or, you know, users or a lot of stuff. A lot of times it's e-commerce because they'll have, you know, they'll have a back-end CRM or at least some, you know, an ERP or something, you know, that they have behind the scenes that they're managing all of their business with. And then Kentico just becomes an extension of that. And so then we use, you know, this customization of these tasks and this integration bus to flow the content into it. Or they're implementing a solution where Kentico becomes their main, you know, the master of everything, but they still need to push it out to Great Plains or right. something like that. So I definitely say that, you know, the scheduled task and integration bus are another way to really customize the heck out of the system.
Yeah, I've used the integration bus in one of my modules that I have on my blog for Bitly metrics. You know, the system, when you auto-publish to Facebook and Twitter, you can choose a URL shortening tool or service, Bitly being one of them. So that way, when you push stuff up to Twitter, you know who's clicking on it. I got tired of going out to Bitly to see the results. So I used integration bus with a custom module to bring it back. And I love the system of UI personalization.
Oh, yeah.
It lets me put that Bitly icon right in the top ribbon. I also tied it to the analytics per page on the properties of a doc. So the module is more than just the code. It's actually the deep integration with the user interface of CMS Desk. And that's one thing I think that really sets Kentico apart, is that it's so easy to add buttons, ribbons, entire sections with this module idea. And honestly, as you know, because we went to the Kentico Connection conference in 8.0, there's another huge improvement on top of that that's going to make it even easier. So for our listeners out there, just wait till you see Kentico 8 in terms of developing modules, because there's a nice improvement.
You almost don't even have to open up Visual Studio in some cases. It's pretty wild. You know, for your modules, do you ever use multiple permissions on a particular module?
Well, not most of the time. I'm usually looking for like a read permission.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you can create other ones specifically to do this action or this other action, but most of the time our requirements have been focused around, is the user in this role and can they do this one thing? Can they get to it?
Mainly we're just looking for, do they have access to the module or not? But I mean, I've played around with it a little bit, and obviously it's the capabilities there. I just haven't had the real need to do it myself on that level. But you know, if someone's looking into it, you know, the idea that we're kind of referring to is you can set these permissions on a module level. So maybe you have something like Brian was discussing with, you know, this MLS management system of where they want to be able to go in and put in properties and stuff. Maybe you have some people that you just want to allow them to look at it, but they don't change anything. And with the modules inside of Kentico, you can actually just set a permission quite easily and then leverage that permission within your code, saying, does the user have managed permission? If so, then you allow them to actually manage the records. Otherwise, you only allow them to read it and stuff. So it's a real quick way to customize the experience even further, much like the UI personalization that you mentioned too. So,
yep.
Okay, here's a question for you. Have you ever modified the CMS Desk or CMS Site Manager interface?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We've moved around some buttons. Again, it's using that UI personalization aspect of it. As long as you are okay with the fact that if you modify the tools module or the content module or my desk, you know, you should be aware that if a hotfix comes and they fix something in the current landscape with 7.0, there's definitely a chance that you could lose that customization. So, you know, export out a copy, keep that safe. In case you want to put back your customization.
Are you speaking from experience?
I definitely am. Learned it the hard way, so hoping to save some people some time there.
That's cool. You know, we used to modify the login page for the CMS Desk and the Site Manager. I mean, in the Site Manager, you know, you can set a login page for your site if you have secure areas of it. But yep. The login page for the desk and the Site Manager are pretty much a static page that you really can't modify what that is unless you physically go in and change the Kentico code, like you said. We used to modify that a good bit, but much like you just described, we got to the point of hotfix come out, override it, and we just quit worrying about it. And then with version 6, they made it look a lot fancier with like this black background with fading
right.
colors in and out. So we decided to leave that. I'd say one of the big customizations that we've done for the desk is we find Kentico, with all its caching and, you know, what it does, especially caching of like menu items, we find that desk administrators will make a change inside of their content tree and then it's not displayed. And the only way to get it to happen, you know, immediately is you have to clear the cache on the server. So sometimes we take those clear cache button functionalities from the Site Manager and bring them into the desk, like at the very top or something. We've done that a couple times.
Nice. That's a great idea. I'm gonna steal that, just so you know.
Yeah, I've talked with some Kentico developers about it. It gets a little scary. I mean, really, that cache is there for a reason, and it really does. You know, obviously, as you know, it helps the site run faster. Yeah. But, you know, if someone tries to put in a page and it doesn't show up because it's not shown up in a menu, I mean, that could be significant. So we chose to do that. I mean, we did it kind of on a blanket level. We just threw it up at the top of the CMS desk. But really, really, in my opinion, that should maybe be inside of its own module that then we put on UI personalization to see who can access that and who can't.
Right. And now, did you think about, instead of blindly clearing all the cache, like looking through all the cache key item names and dependencies, and maybe just clearing the ones that are coming out of live site cache names or you know, internal ones only? There's maybe a level of control. Like you said, you don't want to slow down the whole site, but you could look for that node ID as a dependency and clear just that one, or maybe a set based off of a pattern. Definitely some ideas to maybe.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That's, you know, that sounds like a great module for BizStream to put
in. Yeah. We have tons of free time. We'll just start right now.
But I mean, you know, and I'm sure you would agree. I mean, we just spent, you know, 5-10 minutes talking about how to change just the administration interface. Again, all possible because all that code's there available to do it. And really, that's what happens. I mean, each project. No, we don't want to expose the ability to clear the cache to everybody, but in this particular project, we needed to. So it's really, you know, the customizations are just endless. I mean, I picked a couple of my favorites because these are the ones that I think do the coolest stuff, but we customize every interface for every customer, really, to some degree, whether that's using something that we have to make or, you know, some manipulation of some Kentico code or a custom task or the UI personalization. I mean, that's probably the easiest way to implement any customizations you want with permissions and UI personalization, which, I mean, I know you've done a ton with that for probably every client you use UI personalization.
You know what? I think, like you said, this is just a few customizations. One thing that we've mentioned already is the fact that there are upgrade-proof customizations and not upgrade-proof customizations. Maybe we talk about that in our next episode because I think we're getting near the end of our time for today, and I'm sure you and I could just keep talking about our favorites experiences with this, but we don't want to bore anyone. So I think let's take the rest of that next episode. And you know, as always, Brian, how can people find you if they want to find out more about Kentico?
Man, you can always hit up my blog at bitwizards.com/blogs, and then you'll see mine listed as Brian Soltis. An easier way, and feel free to write me anytime, is you can watch me on Twitter at Brian_Soltis, or you can Skype me at Brian_Soltis. That's fine too. If you have a strange name, I may not accept your call. but if you have a normal name, then maybe I'll know it's something for real, and I'll be glad to help you out there. And, you know, give us some feedback on these podcasts, and let us know if you have a topic you want to listen to. And I'm sure you might have a way for people to get in touch with you as well.
Yeah, Twitter is usually the best way, at McBeeve, or of course hitting my blog at McBeeve.com. I have a section on the side that actually is my few custom web parts and modules. There's more that I should add to that, but man, I just gotta find time to update that blog. Not enough time in the day.
Yep. You know, I have 3 blogs I wrote on the way back from Kentico Connections London, and they're just sitting there because I haven't had time to go back and finish them. That's sad. Well, cool. Well, I think this was a good one, man. I think people are gonna get a lot out of it. And yeah, definitely let us know. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, if there's a topic you want to hear about. And we'll just wait and talk to you next time.
Yeah, and we will have these podcast episodes up on our blogs. Kentico DevNet will also probably have it. But thanks for listening to Kentico Rocks episode number 2.
Thank you.
Bye.